This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the class of Hadith. Today, inshallah, we will discuss an important issue, which is the abrogated Hadith. Abrogation means, linguistically, obliteration. Naskh in Arabic has several meanings. When you have something and you change it later on, they say in Arabic, نسخت الشمس الظل. The sun obliterated the shadow, because the shadow is changing. Or نسخت الريح الأثر. The wind will change the trace. Also, نسخ, when we write, this is called نسخ. Allah mentioned in the Quran, إِنَّا كُنَّا نَسْتَنْسِخُ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. We used to write what you did. But in Hadith terminology, نسخ has important issue. Abrogation, it's really important. Because some people made a big deal about it. How could this happen? Because simply when we're saying there is nasakh, that means there is one hadith, and then this hadith was cancelled by another hadith. So what does it mean literally, or what does it mean exactly in the hadith terminology? That's the definition of abrogation in hadith terminology. Suspending a ruling by a later evidence. Suspending a ruling by a later evidence. Now, in the book, there is a mistake in the definition. So beware of this mistake. It says suspending a ruling by another ruling. The ruling does not suspend the other ruling. The evidence suspends the other ruling. This is very important. So in the book, correct it.
Is it suspending or changing?
Suspending or changing. رفع حكم شرعي بدليل شرعي متأخر عنه. That's what we say in Arabic. رَفْعُ حُكْمٍ شَرْعِي بِدَلِيلٍ شَرْعِيٍ مُتَأَخِّرٍ عَنْهُمْ. Now, again, I want you to think of the issue here. What do we have? We have a hadith. Like the Prophet ﷺ is telling you one day, do this. After 2 years, for the same thing, he told you, don't do this. Now, we have two different issues. Before 2 years, the Prophet ﷺ said, do it. Now he told you, don't do it. For us, maybe it's okay. We always change ourselves because we are fallible. We are human beings. But for the Messenger ﷺ to have this, some people started suspecting, doubting why this happens. Actually, abrogation does not only happen in the hadith, it happens also in the Quran. And we will discuss it. We will discuss it inshallah in the tafsir. But here now, in the hadith, how could the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam abrogate something or change something? Could this be possible?
Yeah.
Yes, it could be possible. Why? Didn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam know what he's saying?
Well, it happened that sometimes he asked the Sahaba or asked the Muslims to do something and then he was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay, that's very good. One time he told the companions to do something, then he was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to do. This is an evidence that the sunnah does not have authority. That means we should not follow the sunnah, because maybe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying some things which are wrong. If we say the sunnah is wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means it should be correct. If it was correct the first time, why it was changed the second time? Whether you say the first time it was correct or the second time it was correct. You see, that's the trouble here. And we need to understand it very well. Because some people, again, as I told you, they may make a big deal about it. And you need to know what to tell them. You need to be ready for the answer.
Normally rules change because it's mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Because it's mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Change to the better or to the easier.
Mm-hmm. So again, there are many purposes for the abrogation, why it happens. But is it possible that it is happening? Yes, it is possible. What are the advantages? We will discuss it later, inshallah, in the tafsir. But again, could it happen? The answer is yes, it could happen. Not because the Prophet ﷺ is not knowing what he's saying, but according to the circumstances, according to the incidents themselves. That was suitable here, and now it's not suitable anymore. It's not like the laws, the lawmaker legislating every day. Later on, they found out that this was not correct, and they are changing. They have some amendments to this rule. They have no, it's not like that. In Islam, it's always perfect. It was perfect at the beginning, and it was perfect later, and it will remain perfect. But at that time, it was permissible. Then, for another reason, it's not permissible anymore, or the opposite. So again, we have abrogation in religion. And not only in Islam, in all religions, it happened. So we will discuss this, inshallah, later. But now, what are the types of abrogation do we have in the hadith? What are the types of abrogation do we have in hadith? We have four types. We have four types. First, explicit statement from the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which means he said, I told you this earlier, now I am telling you this. This is a statement from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is abrogating himself what he said earlier. So the abrogation was done by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. Number two, saying of a companion. When a companion comes and says, this was abrogated. Number three, knowing the date of each one. How could this happen? What do we mean by knowing the date of each one? We have two ahadith. They contradict each other. In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, don't do it. In the other hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, do it. Now what do you do? You do it or you don't do it. It's about the same exact issue. When you know that the first one was said in the second year of Hijrah, and the second one was said in the eighth year of Hijrah, which one you take? The eighth year. Why?
Later.
It happened later. Always you take the recent one. So by knowing the date, you know that there was abrogation. Number four, consensus. What do you mean by consensus? The consensus of the scholars. Now, could the scholars themselves abrogate something from the religion? No? How then we say consensus? They could. So if nowadays we have like the assembly of the scholars worldwide, 142 scholars or so, the scholars, the real scholars, they came, they met all together and they said, we studied the situation nowadays, and we believe nowadays, in our time, alcohol is allowed. Can they do that? They are abrogating the prohibition of alcohol. Can they do that? All of them.
If every single scholar agreed?
Yeah.
There will be a choice to follow them or not, but they can.
They can?
But there will be a choice to
they can't.
Them.
No, they can't.
That's a rule.
They cannot. They cannot, even if they all agreed. So why? How we say consensus? We mean by consensus here that all scholars agreed that this was abrogated, not they abrogated it. That's what we mean by the consensus. Because you may hear the statement from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you may hear the same statement from a companion, not from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you may know the date, or you may know that there is something abrogated it. And that's what the scholars said. Not they themselves. They cannot. Even if all of them came and they said, which will not happen, it's impossible, but just hypothetically speaking, it will never happen. All scholars come and agree to abrogate something of the religion. They will never do it. You may have majority. You may have, because the Prophet ﷺ said, أُمَّتِي لَا تَجْتَمِعُ عَلَى الضَّلَالَةِ. My ummah will never agree on falsehood, on something wrong. So it will never happen. Is this clear? The four types of abrogation. Now we will take the examples. The first example, the explicit statement from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said that was permissible or that was prohibited and now it is changed. We have the hadith of the grave, visiting the cemeteries. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kuntu qad nahaytukum an ziyarat al-qubur." I forbade you from visiting the graves. Ala fazuruha. Now go and visit them, for it will remind you of the Day of Judgment. It will remind you of the hereafter. Now, at the beginning, wasn't it going to remind them of the hereafter? It was. So why the Prophet ﷺ forbade it? Now, there could be a wisdom. Some scholars said because at that time, at the beginning of Islam, they were still establishing their iman. So they may be attached to the graves. So it was suitable to prevent them from visiting the graves of the kuffar, because that was the beginning of Islam. So most of the kuffar were buried. There was no new Muslims. So maybe that was the reason. Regardless of the reason, the Prophet ﷺ, he himself said, I forbade you from visiting the graves. Now visit them. What do we call this? This is abrogation. At the beginning, it was forbidden. Now, it is allowed. The Prophet ﷺ himself, he said that. So we know that this is abrogation. Is this clear, this example? The second example, the companion. When the companion relates something to the Messenger ﷺ that he used to do it and now he is doing it differently, that constitutes abrogation. This is the example we have, the last of the two rulings that is known from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that wudu is not vitiated by consuming food that is changed by fire. What do we mean by that? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said earlier, tawadda'u mimma massat an-nar. Any meat you eat that was changed by fire, vitiated by fire. You know how the meat is red? When you cook it, it is changed. So the ruling at the beginning was, any meat you eat, if it's cooked from fire, what do? You make wudu. So you could say it's one of the things that nullify wudu. Later what happened? It did not break your wudu anymore. How do we know that? That's what the companion is saying. The last of the two rulings, that means there were two rulings. One of them said it nullifies wudu. The other ruling said it does not nullify wudu. So which one you take? You take the second one, because he's telling you that's the last one. The Prophet ﷺ at the beginning told them, make wudu. Later he told them, don't make wudu. كان آخر الأمرين من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ترك الوضوء مما مست النار. So the last of the two rulings that is known from the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم is that wudu is not vitiated by consuming food that is changed by fire. Okay? Is it clear? It's the same like the first one. The difference is the first one, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم himself is telling you. Here, the companion is telling us that the ruling is changed. The third example, when we know the history of both a hadith, we have several examples. One of them, hadith Talq, radiallahu anhu. He asked the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do we perform wudu if we touched our private part? Now someone, he touched his private part with his hand. Does this nullify wudu? The Prophet ﷺ said no. Why? It's part of your body. It should not invalidate your wudu. But when did the Prophet ﷺ say that? It was the early days when he came to Medina. In the narration it says, Talq came to the Messenger while they were building the masjid. The masjid itself was not built yet. The masjid of Medina. And it was built, the first thing the Prophet did to build the masjid in Medina. So that was early. Later, Busra bin Safwan, asked the Messenger about touching the private part. So what did the Prophet say? Whoever touched his private part, he should perform wudu. مَنْ مَسَّ ذَكَرَهُ فَلْيَتَوَضَّأ. Now again, we have two contradicting narrations. Which one we take? The second one, why? It was related later. Now the Prophet ﷺ here, he is not telling us, I told you this earlier and now I'm telling you this. But it's the same because we knew the history. We knew which one happened first. At the beginning of Islam, the rulings were not established all. Prophet ﷺ lived 10 years in Medina. Rulings changed. So at the beginning, it was permissible. Then, it was what? Not permissible, it was changed. This is the third type. The first type, again, let me recap. The first type, the explicit statement from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second type, the companion himself is telling you that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed it. The third type, knowing the history. The fourth type, the ijma'. The ijma'. What do we mean by the ijma'? The consensus of the scholars. What's the example for this? We have a hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, "من شرب الخمر فجلدوه، فإن عاد فجلدوه، فإن عاد فجلدوه، فإن عاد الرابعة فقتلوه." If someone drank alcohol, you should slash him, punish him. The first time. If he repeated it the second time, do it the same. Punish him again. Third time, punish him. If he did it four times, what do? You kill him. Now scholars agreed, unanimously agreed, that whoever drank four times, he's not killed. Did they themselves abrogate this hadith? They cannot abrogate it. But they said, from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, we know that this is abrogated. It was never related that someone drank alcohol and he was killed because of it. So this tells you, this ruling is abrogated. Whoever drank four times alcohol, he is killed. Why it's abrogated? Did the Prophet ﷺ say it's abrogated? No. Did the companion say it's abrogated? No. We don't have any statement from the companions. Did we know the history? There is another hadith. No, but it is the ijma'. All scholars agreed that this hadith is abrogated. This is the example of the fourth type, which is the ijma'. Is this clear? Okay. So inshallah we're done with the issue of abrogation in hadith. Now, we're moving to another issue, which is the types of hadith according to the source. What do you mean by the source? The one who says the hadith. The source means the ones who says the hadith. Who says the hadith? Do you have anyone other than the Messenger ﷺ? No.
You mean the one that's telling us the hadith in front of us?
No, that's the narrator. The companion. If the companion says something, is it considered the hadith? Some scholars considered it a hadith. So we have the Messenger ﷺ, we have the companions. What do we have also? Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah could be the source of the hadith. Hadith Qudsi, divine narrative. Again, we have several divisions of hadith. We have division of hadith according to the number of narrators. Multiply narrated, hadith ahad. Solidly narrated. Then we have, according to the authenticity, we have hadith sahih, hadith hasan, and hadith da'if, and hadith mawdu' as well. Then we have, according to the source, the one who says the hadith. Is it the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Is it the companion? Is it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So it is in the book, page 155. First, we have the divine narrative, the divine hadith from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we have the prophetic hadith from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then we have from the companion, but all the way to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's very similar to number two. And then we have al-mawquf from the companion himself. So you could say it's three or four. Four types of hadith. From Allah, from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the companion. We will start with the divine narrative. The hadith that is said by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what's the Quran? The book of Allah. The word of Allah. What about the hadith? Isn't it the word of Allah also?
Yeah, but it's not part of the Quran.
It's not part of the Quran? So how do we differentiate between the Quran and what's not from the Quran?
The Prophet ﷺ differentiated.
How? Why don't
we consider everything from Allah Quran?
Is every word came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Quran?
No.
The Quran again, that's why we said it's important to know the definitions. When we define the Quran, what did we say? The word of Allah that came
in 23 years.
The same thing with Hadith Qudsi. It came within 23 years. Miraculously mentioned. The Quran is miraculous in its words, while the Hadith Qudsi may or may not be. This is a difference. The Quran is recited in the prayer. The Hadith al-Qudsi is not. Well, we have several books. We're coming to it, inshallah. So, is it different or it's not different? There are many differences. The Quran is miraculous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenged everybody to bring one ayah, the like of the Quran, and they couldn't. Could they bring the like of a hadith? Yes, they could. So what's the basic difference between Hadith Qudsi and Quran? Yeah, the Quran has to be miraculous, while the Hadith Qudsi may or may not be. The Quran, you will be rewarded for each letter. How many hasanat? 10. And it may be multiplied. The Hadith al-Qudsi, you may be rewarded, but not 10 hasanat for every single letter. Can you recite the Hadith al-Qudsi in the prayer? No. Why? It's the word of Allah. It's still even the word of Allah, but you cannot. All these are differences. So it is different. What's the ruling if we hear a Hadith Qudsi? Is it mutawatir? Is it Aziz? Is it Hassan? Is it authentic? Or it is daif, mawdu'? What do you think? A divine narrative from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't know. I don't know, I'm asking you. What about the Quran? Absolutely.
Mutawatir.
What about the Hadith Qudsi?
If it's word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it should be the highest level of Hadith.
It should be. So it should be higher than Mutawatir.
Yes.
Any
higher than Mutawatir?
I'm asking. What do you think? It depends. So it's not. So it's not accepted.
Well,
The hadith al-Qudsi is just like any other hadith. It could be authentic, it could be daif. Why? Because I may come and say, from so and so, from the Messenger of Allah, from Allah. And there could be a lie. As people forge some ahadith, they could forge a hadith Qudsi and they say they attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it could be, but the Quran, can they forge any ayah? No. So the hadith al-Qudsi is just like any other hadith. So it's not automatically accepted. Once someone say this is divine narrative, so it's accepted. We have to check who narrated it. Are they authentic? Are they reliable, retentive, trustworthy or not? You need to check, just like any other hadith. But the difference is what? This hadith from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the regular hadith from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I gave you an example here. This is one of the longest divine narratives. It's in Sahih Muslim from Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu. Ya ibadi, إني حرمت الظلم على نفسي وجعلته بينكم محرما فلا تظالموا. يا عبادي كلكم جائع إلا من أطعمته فاستطعموني أطعمكم. يا عبادي all these is included in the hadith. It's still the hadith. It's very nice hadith, long hadith. And it is authentic. This hadith, when Sa'id ibn Musayyib rahimahullah, he used to narrate it, he used to kneel on his knee out of the greatness of this hadith. Okay, so this is the divine narrative. This is just one example. Where do we find the divine narratives? Where can we find them? You could find them in any book. In Sahih al-Bukhari, you may find them. In Sahih Muslim. In other books. Again, because they may be authentic and they may be not. But there are some collections. They collected the ahadith according to the source. So there are some books only for the divine narratives. One of them, and it's the biggest of them, Al-Ithafat Saniya Bil Ahadith Al-Qudsiya. That's the name of it. Abdul Ra'uf Al-Munawi, rahimahullah. He compiled only the divine narratives, over 200 ahadith. Al-Ithafat Saniya Bil Ahadith Al-Qudsiya. I don't think it's in English, but I believe it's, I have it in Arabic. I don't know if it's here. No, I will not ask you about it on the test. Abdul Ra'uf Al-Munawi Al-Haddadi. That's the name of... I don't know, I used to have it. Maybe I took it back. So it's not here, but I have it. This is one of it. Al-Ithafat Al-Saniya Bil-Ahadith Al-Qudsiya. In English, we have some books. There is, I think, one book includes 100 divine narratives. And I have another one also in English. This book, Al-Ithafat Al-Saniya, it has over 200 ahadith. It has over 200 ahadith. So the divine narratives are not many. unlike the regular ahadith. So that's about it regarding the divine narratives. That's what you need to know. You need to know the difference between the divine narrative and the Quran. You need to know the example, where do you find it, and any book or any example like the one I gave you. This is a very long one. You could choose any other one. So you need to know that there are ahadith narrated from the Messenger ﷺ from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we are moving to another issue, which is the elevated hadith. The hadith, what do we mean by elevated? Elevated to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Marfu', hadith al-marfu'. That's what we call al-hadith al-marfu'. Or actually, we will stop here, inshallah. We will stop here. We will continue later. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم.